Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental health problems in the United States, the UK, and beyond. And insufficient sleep is known to have sweeping negative implications for overall health. Now, as a result, understanding and addressing the links between anxiety and sleep can be fundamental to physical and emotional wellness. Our guest today, holistic health, sleep, and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, is back with us for her best tips on this sleep-anxiety connection, how you can sleep like a baby, and why it's so important. Dr. Susan, welcome back to the program. What a great topic today. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, thank you. And I can't imagine that this topic doesn't affect everybody listening. And maybe it's not chronic for people having anxiety and not sleeping well, but a lot of people I talk to aren't aware of how the lack of sleep can affect your mental health, because it really does affect your level of anxiety. I'm so glad we're talking about this today.
To start things off, give us a brief overview of the connection between anxiety and sleep.
All right, so good place to start.
Yep.
Now, sleep and anxiety are definitely, they're deeply intertwined, creating either a harmful cycle that undermines wellness or a positive pattern, that's what we always can hope for, that promotes healing. And quality sleep can significantly reduce your anxiety, while chronic anxiety often leads to poor sleep. So I'm so thrilled that we have this topic today where I'll discuss this connection between sleep and anxiety, and then offer some of my best practical tips and approaches to improving both for better overall health and well-being.
To get a better understanding of how sleep and anxiety affect each other, give us some highlights from research. Something that Dr. Susan always does is extensive research. Share some of that with us and talk about this connection.
Yeah, well, there's been some massive research of late at UC Berkeley up in Northern California, and it's shown that a single night without proper sleep can increase anxiety levels by up to 30%. This is just one night.
One night?
Well, yeah, while deep quality sleep helps calm an anxious brain. And the science points to something called non-rapid eye movement. That's NREM, that's slow wave sleep, as particularly beneficial for reducing anxiety. So during this sleep phase at night, the neural patterns become synchronized, while heart rate and blood pressure naturally decrease, and then this creates an ideal condition for anxiety reduction. And this all happens when you get deep quality sleep at night. So keep in mind that it's just one single night without good sleep can significantly increase anxiety levels by up to 30%.
Our guest is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. You'll find her at susansmithjones.com. More information there on the topic today and some of her books. We'll talk about that as we go through our conversation. Let's sort of flip this here for a second. We know about the lack of sleep increasing anxiety. What about the opposite, the other way around? Does anxiety make it harder to sleep? And if so, how?
Yeah, definitely. This relationship works both ways. Anxiety makes it harder to fall asleep as your racing thoughts continue at bedtime. And then this poor sleep then increases anxiety the following day. It's not rocket science. Most people can figure this out. But I like to bring these things up for those people that might not be so sure about the importance of getting good sleep. And keep in mind that even small nightly changes in sleep can predict how anxious you'll feel tomorrow. So this creates a very challenging cycle that affects approximately 50% of people with anxiety disorders, making it important to address both of these issues together rather than separately.
Let's talk about getting better sleep. Can you, foods for example, does what we eat help or hinder better sleep? And so how about nutrients? Where does that enter into the picture?
Well, in terms of nutrients, foods rich in magnesium like dark leafy greens, pumpkin seeds, almonds, these support relaxation by calming the nervous system. Omega-3 fatty acids found in foods like fatty fish, like salmon, and walnuts, flax seeds, will help reduce inflammation and support brain health, and that improves both anxiety levels and your sleep quality. But keep this in mind too, Rick, that the timing of meals also matters. You always want to avoid large meals within 3 hours of bedtime. You want to limit caffeine to the morning hours. You want to skip alcohol. Oh, shoot, many are saying. Skip alcohol near bedtime as it disrupts these sleep cycles. Complex carbs like whole grains, they can actually boost your serotonin levels, giving you feelings of well-being, making it a little bit easier to fall asleep. Also, as I write about in my book, A Hug and a Mug, there are calming teas like chamomile, lavender, lemon balm. If you have them about an hour before bedtime, it will help you fall asleep more quickly and stay asleep through the night. Also next to my bed, I don't know if I've ever talked to you about this, I have a diffuser, and often at night I'll put in either lemongrass or lavender or a few drops of the essential oil of each one and let it run as I sleep, and it actually does calm me down. And, you know, even before we go on, we should probably talk about, you know, how I like to be very practical, and what are some ways to improve people's quality of sleep?
Let's do that, because there we've talked about these some in the past. It's very important to the topic today, and all of this information on Dr. Susan's website, in her books as well, SusanSmithJones.com. It's important. How important is it to create an EMF-free sleep environment? And how difficult is it to do that, because almost everybody goes to bed with an electronic device close by?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, you're so right. The bedroom really does need to be a sanctuary dedicated to sleep, free from EMF. That's electromagnetic field radiation. Because that disrupts sleep patterns and can really impact your health. Research indicates that reducing the EMF exposure in your bedroom can improve hormone levels related to stress response and sleep quality. So I say, and I'll start with EMF, and then I'll give you other practical tips for sleep. So start by keeping all electronics out of your bedroom, including cell phones, which should be charged in another room overnight. If you've got to use your cell phone as an alarm, put it on an airplane mode with all wireless features turned off, because you want to unplug all necessary devices since they emit these EMFs even when they're turned off. But here are other suggestions on how to improve your quality of sleep. You want to keep consistent habits. You want to go to bed and wake up the same time every day, because that helps regulate your body's internal clock. You want a sleep-friendly environment in the bedroom. You want to keep the bedroom cool, dark, and quiet. You want to reduce the blue light from those electronics at least 2 hours before bedtime, because that will help your body produce melatonin naturally, making it a little bit easier to fall asleep. And finally, let's just talk about relaxation techniques. These can significantly help with anxiety-related sleep issues, simple practices when you go to bed, like breathing deeply, in and out, you know, gentle bedtime stretching, meditation, all of these can activate your body's relaxation response, countering stress and preparing both your mind and body for sleep. These techniques have been absolutely shown, like I write about in Uplifted, to reduce pre-sleep anxiety to help you fall asleep faster. And Rick, you and I have talked about this a few times before, but here's a simple exercise. When you get into bed at night, if you have any anxious thoughts, if you just take your, I'm going to do it now, take your right thumb.
Oh, yes.
And press it on your right nostril like I'm doing now. And you want to breathe through your left nostril for 3 to 5 minutes, long, slow, deep breaths. You could say an affirmation. You could do like, I am great. You could breathe in to I am and exhale to an adjective like, I am grateful. I am relaxed. I am peace. I am joy. I am, you know, whatever you feel at
yes.
the moment. Sometimes I'll use in the Bible, Mark 4:39 is peace, be still. So I'll breathe into peace and I'll exhale to be still. Or you could use the word stillness. You could breathe into still and exhale to ness. Probably you don't want to do this deep breathing while you have on the nightly news, because you might say, well, if I'm doing the deep breathing, all the negativity on the news isn't going to affect me in a negative way. But it's hard not to be affected by what's going on the news
yes.
these days. So all of these little things will make a positive difference, and don't underestimate the power of a little diffuser. I got mine on Amazon. They don't cost a lot. And you just add water and your favorite essential oils. As mentioned, I use lavender and lemongrass. But I also have about a dozen other oils, depending on my mood. But lavender and lemongrass I like the most. And I do absolutely notice a more relaxation in me when I start to smell that. And my little diffuser will go 1 hour, 3 hours, or 6 hours. And I always let it go 6 hours when I go to sleep. Because let's say I get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. And don't turn on a bright light, because that shuts down melatonin.
Yes.
If you need the light to get to your bathroom, make it a little night light. And then I go back into the bedroom, and then I can smell that lemongrass again or the lavender, and I love it. It really makes a difference.
Well, great information on the program today with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. The topic is The Sleep Anxiety Connection, A Practical Guide to Better Rest and Well-Being. We're going to talk about the different types of rest that the body needs after we come back from these messages. Stay tuned. This Week in America, back after these messages. Welcome back. This Week in America, our guest on the program, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. We're talking about the Sleep Anxiety Connection, A Practical Guide to Better Rest and Well-Being. I mentioned before we left the different types of rest needed. You talk about 7 different types of rest needed the body needs, and you've written about these in your books, Uplifted, Wired for High-Level Wellness. Let's talk about these individually. What are the 7 types of rest that we all need?
Yeah, very simple, and I'll just rattle right through them. One's physical rest. Well, of course, that's sleeping, or maybe like a gentle movement, like stretching. And then there's mental rest. Now, that would address cognitive exhaustion, you know, through practices. You could do like little short breaks throughout the day to help clear your mind, like after a big meeting or something at work. Maybe you walk around the block, or maybe you get home from work and before you get right into the household issues and chores, maybe you do a little bit of walk on a treadmill or something. So that's to clear your mind. That's mental rest. Emotional rest usually involves creating a space to express your feelings in an authentic way. That's emotional rest, like a safe space. Social rest balances energizing and draining social interactions. I know a lot of people say to me that these days, because their perspective and viewpoint is different from other people, that they have a hard time being around different people because they don't think the same way.
Yes.
And sometimes we just need a social rest and maybe not being around people that we know maybe causes our blood pressure to go up. That would be social rest.
Yes.
Creative rest, to me, that means exposing yourself to beauty and inspiration that can reawaken wonder. For me, that's always time in nature. That's like a creative rest. There's a beautiful saying by Ralph Waldo Emerson that, you know, I'm paraphrasing, look to nature because nature shows you God's handwriting. Always when I'm in nature, I become calmer and more relaxed. Maybe your nature is just you've created a lovely backyard with plants. Maybe that can work for you too. Spiritual rest is whatever you can do to connect yourself to something larger than yourself, to God, allowing you to stay in this connection. And then we can never forget the sensory rest. That addresses all these often overlooked impacts of sensory overload on your nervous system, like taking breaks from all your screens, loud noises, because noise pollution is really an issue on mental and physical health. You know, stay away from intense stimuli, all of these things that can heighten your arousal that will interfere with quality sleep. So, you know, and that's why it's always recommended to bathe your baby before bedtime, because the relaxation and the water and the warmth helps to calm the baby. That's a good thing for you to do too, like the sensory rest. If you have a bathtub and you can bathe, or even if you had an infrared sauna, whatever you can do to relax your mind before you go to bed, that's always helpful.
We get bombarded all day, don't we? Basically 24 hours a day. If we stay away, if we can't sleep, it's 24 hours, maybe 16 or 17. But all day we're connected to something. We're interacting with somebody. We're interacting with social media in some way. It really presents a problem. What you're saying makes common sense. We just need to break loose there for a while.
Yes, we do. Yeah, and it's not just going to bed and getting sleep, but it's mental, emotional, social, creative, spiritual, sensory rest. That does mean you've got to be really aware of the choices you're making all day long. But we cannot underestimate the importance of getting good sleep at night and things that you can do to get better sleep. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to emphasize this again, consistent bedtime routine, you know, same time at night and get up at the same time in the morning, signals to your brain that it's time to transition from daytime alertness to nighttime rest. So this might include gentle stretching, reading something before bedtime that's calming, like my book Uplifted is perfect for that. Maybe listen to soft music. But for persistent thoughts at bedtime, maybe you try writing them down. Journaling provides that outlet for processing concerns before sleep, symbolically setting them aside until morning and creating that mental space for relaxation.
What great ideas. If you're looking for more information, Dr. Susan's website is SusanSmithJones.com. I'll link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And I'm going to ask now about several books. You mentioned several of the books have information based on, or information based on research that will help with these problems. Let's talk about best nutritional programs. Which book can we look through to get information on that?
Yeah, well, definitely my book called A Hug and a Mug. That's revitalized with superfoods and healthy living extras. I go over the ABCs of what to eat and what not to eat to prevent all disease, to heal most health issues. And it also has 100 recipes in it. So, and my approach, no matter what the health issue is, it always emphasizes a combination of good whole foods. And in terms of sleep, in A Hug and a Mug, I provide an abundance of natural sources of sleep-supporting nutrients and the best foods for things like magnesium, potassium, B vitamins that are all essential for neurotransmitter production. So the whole food approach that I've had ever since I was a teenager a few years ago naturally eliminates many sleep-disturbing substances that are found, Rick, in the typical Western diet, including excess caffeine, refined sugars, artificial additives. All of these stimulate the nervous system. And the emphasis on foods rich in natural antioxidants and anti-inflammatory compounds supports cellular health and also reduces inflammation, which research has linked both of these to sleep disturbances and increased anxiety. So in terms of food, check out A Hug and a Mug.
Information on all of the topics we talked about on all of our interviews you'll find on Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Go to our archives. You'll find fascinating programs from about the last 8 or 9, 10 years that Dr. Susan has been with us, making monthly visits to try to help us through some of these problems that we all have. And today, talking about better rest and well-being. Well, about time to wrap things up here. What thoughts and steps do you want to leave with us in conclusion to help us sleep better and to have less anxiety?
Okay. So, all right. So overall, the good takeaway here is that the connection between sleep and anxiety works both ways, creating either a harmful cycle or a positive pattern of well-being. And by implementing even small changes from what we've discussed today and what you pick up in my books, you can begin improving your sleep quality and anxiety levels. So maybe you start with what feels perhaps most manageable, like maybe creating a consistent bedtime routine. That could be a good one to start with. Or eliminating the EMF exposure in your bedroom, or incorporating a simple relaxation technique before bedtime, like that little 3 to 5 minute exercise holding your right nostril.
Yes.
Because breathing through the left takes you from beta, which is waking consciousness, to the next slower level of brainwave activity, which is alpha, and calms you down, helps you drift off into sleep. So remember that deep quality sleep significantly impacts anxiety levels. And the lifestyle and nutritional approaches that you'll read about in A Hug and a Mug and Uplifted will provide you with all these additional tools for addressing both the symptoms and root causes of sleep and anxiety challenges. And I promise you that with some consistency and patience, these holistic practices can help break that sleep anxiety cycle and establish healthier patterns that support what do we want? Restful nights and calmer days. And so I know everyone can do that. You just have to make a few little simple changes and the way you sleep and how you live throughout the day, but you can transform your relationship with rest and experience greater overall well-being.
The books are beautifully designed. They're really a pleasure to read. Great information in them. A comprehensive holistic health and positive lifestyle trilogy of books that Dr. Susan has talked about. Uplifted, Wired for High-Level Wellness, and A Hug in a Mug. Where is the best place to get the books, get information, and to be able to order the books?
Yeah, so go to my website, my name, SusanSmithJones.com, and in the navigation bar, go to books. You can find each book. You'll be able to read reviews. You'll be able to order them there if you want autographed copies. That they all have links that will take you right to Amazon, too. And also, I'll just mention this briefly, I have a children's book for children of all ages and adults that are young at heart. It's called Joy in the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. And in this book, the main character, Joy, is a 10-year-old girl who moves from the bustling city with her big family to a farm. And she meets a butterfly who changes her life for the better. And the butterfly teaches Joy about the importance of many things in life, many life lessons, but including, you're going to love this, the importance of consistent nightly sleep. I made that a big deal in the storyline. It's a novelette. It's shorter than a novel, but it's been a story in my brain for decades and decades. So, and in this book, one of the things I wanted to inspire in kids and adults is to make sleep important for being healthy, happy, and more positive. So if you have any issues with your kids or your spouse or anyone not sleeping well, you can learn more about sleep in this novelette called Joy in the Butterfly, The Magical Garden.
Looking forward to being able to talk about that. I've seen some of the illustrations. It's beautifully done, as is everything that Dr. Susan presents to us out here. And you can follow her online. Talk about that and the monthly newsletter. You've got to sign up for the monthly newsletter. You'll look forward to it once a month.
Yeah, definitely. It's just once a month. I don't inundate you with emails. Just once a month, beautiful, full-color, cutting-edge health info. And don't forget to follow me on X at Susan Smith Jones.
Very simple to do it that way. And again, all of the programs that we've had over the years with Dr. Susan, you'll find in our archive at thisweekinamerica.us. Plenty of ways that you can keep up with Dr. Susan and what she's doing. The monthly newsletter, free. It'll take you 10 seconds at the most to sign up for it. And again, you'll look forward to it once a month. All the books listed there as well. A wealth of information at SusanSmithJones.com. The topic today, a very important one, the practical guide to better rest and well-being, the sleep-anxiety connection. Dr. Susan, great program today. Information that's all doable. That's what I like about having you on the program and talking about all of these holistic health issues. They're all things that we can do. There's no excuse not to do them, is there?
No excuse, and it just takes making a commitment and that beautiful C word, being consistent in what you do. And you'll see how it will, in a positive way, affect your well-being.
And that's the other thing. It's doable, and you will see you're making progress. You're going to be feeling better. People may even comment on you seem like a new person. Just tell them to go to Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com, and they can be part of the activity there as well. Dr. Susan, thank you. Looking forward to having you back next month. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.